Welcome back to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Barbera. And in this episode, I wanted to cover the most recent rental we picked up using the BRRRR strategy. But what's different about this one is that we didn't do the full renovation that we typically do to all of our rentals. And I'm going to go over how we did it, how we bought it, all the things that we did. And then at the end, I'm going to share what it is that most buy and hold investors do wrong when they buy a house by not doing the right amount of rehab or buying it at the right price. So this house, we actually were renovating the house across the street. And when we renovate our properties, we always talk to all the neighbors. One, we talk to them because if anybody has any complaints or they see anything going on in one of our properties, we want them to reach out to us. And neighbors are usually the best guard dogs. I don't want to offend them, but like, you know, they watch over your properties a lot more when they know you and they take care of each other and everything. So we like to be very nice and very polite with our neighbors. And also, it so happens that at times we do get deals out of that, right? When they know somebody or even themselves want to sell, chances are they come to us the majority of the time. So in this case, we're talking to one of the neighbors, and his neighbor, this house that we bought, he was talking to him and he found out that he wanted to sell. So he says, hey, give these guys a call. I met them. They're great people. They do great work. Maybe they'll help you out. So the guy, he's from, I believe it was Louisiana or Alabama. I don't know, one of those. And he reached out to us and wanted to see how it was that we can help. So I came over, looked over at the property. He had gotten the property from his dad, who is now in a nursing home. So this guy, he works a lot. He doesn't live in Texas. He doesn't have the time or anything to manage any of these, the property or do anything else. He just needs to get rid of it so he can get the money to help out his dad. So it was a very easy negotiation because there was no other competition. We were the only ones there. And I pretty much told him what it was. I was like, okay, look, your house in this neighborhood, the houses are pretty much identical. So I was like, your house is exactly the same as the house that we bought across the street. It needs the same amount of work, and I'll pay you the same price. So it was 75 grand. It was like, done. Easy. And he just wanted to be done with it. All right. So we went ahead. We purchased the property. There were some issues. The power of attorneys weren't done correctly. They weren't specified to the address, so we had some power of attorney issues that we had to get sorted out. And at the time, the power of attorneys, you know, we have to do this while his dad is still in good mental health and everything, because we don't want to later on it makes it a lot more troublesome and all this. So we had some issues there that we needed to sort out, which we were able, between his attorney and our attorneys, sort all that out, and we were able to close on the property. Now, here's what's different. So this house, we bought it for 75 grand, but it didn't have the major components wrong. So it had some foundation settling, you can tell, but it wasn't big. It wasn't a huge foundation issue that would not qualify for financing. So when we looked at the house, the kitchen was in okay conditions. The bathrooms were in okay condition. The house itself was in okay condition. That we ran our numbers and we're like, all right, we like these neighborhood. We like this neighborhood and these houses because it's in an appreciating area. So it's located, if you're in San Antonio, in the Schertz-Cibolo area. There's a lot of growth going up out there, and it's great for rental properties because the values are still low. The values are still around $150,000. So in San Antonio, that's affordable housing price point. And anything around $150,000 is quickly going to $170,000, $180,000, $200,000 very, very fast. That appreciation is going up really quickly in San Antonio. So we saw that. We saw that opportunity. And we're like, we looked at the house. Like, what do we need to just make this house rental ready? So we went through it. We put about $15,000, a little under $15,000 worth of work. We did floors. We did a laminate that we use. I'm going to try to remember the brand next time. A lot of you guys are focused on the brand. I don't know what the hell the brand is. It's always something different because we call the same floor guy and he just pretty much tells us, hey, this one's on special. But pretty much what we stick to is the same quality of laminate, which is a laminate stick down that's like almost rubber. It's a, it looks like if it was actual hardwood floors and they just stick it down throughout the whole house. It's very thin and it's durable, 100% waterproof, so it's great for rentals. It looks good. People walk in, they think it's hardwood floors. And if for any reason they were to screw up, let's say, you know, a few pieces of them, all we have to do is peel those pieces up, put new ones down, and you're good to go. So for rentals, these are awesome to do. So we run these throughout the whole house. I'm talking about bathrooms, kitchen, bedrooms. Throughout the whole house, we run this because it's $2 a square foot right now around for material and install. And they come and they do the whole thing with quarter round finishing and everything. So, I mean, it's a really good it's a really good price for your buck. And the fact that it looks good and it lasts forever is awesome. So we did the floors. We painted the whole house. We painted the cabinets. We didn't replace them. They were in good quality condition. Some were a little messed up inside. We just replaced those panels and kept it going. So we painted those. We changed the light fixtures and we resurfaced all the showers. So we resurfaced the tub and the tile. The tile was in good enough condition that we can just resurface them. They weren't like rotted or falling out or badly done. They were in there. They were just ugly color. So we resurfaced all that. I'll upload some pictures so you can see kind of the before and afters. But that was all we did. And at the time, here was the math. Was we bought it for $75. We're like, all right, if we put about $15 into it, we're in it for $90, a little more because of closing costs and everything. We were at the time thinking that it would appraise at $140. Even though the house that we flipped across the street sold for $160, we didn't do that level of work. On that one, we did a brand new kitchen, granite countertops, brand new bathrooms, and then everything else, the floors, paint. But like I said, brand new bathrooms, new vanities, new light fixtures, everything was brand new on there. This one, we didn't do any of that. So we figured that one's priced for $160, this one, $140, be conservative. At $140, at 75% loan to value, which is what we were kind of going to refinance it at, we would still be good. So we went ahead, we did that. And when we called for the appraisal came in for $160, right? So it's a much higher appraisal, which is awesome. It was really good. So we pulled the 75% of the value. And it came out to about, I think, $120. We were in it for $190-something. We walked away with about $25,000, give or take. Now, a lot of you are thinking, wow, that's great profit. We don't look at it as profit. That $25,000, the house was appraised at $160. This does not mean the house is going to sell for the $160. So what we need to do is we understand that when it comes time to selling, if we want to sell for the highest price possible, we're going to have to come back in there and do the bathrooms, do the kitchen, and do all that. So this $25,000 that we got as profit, it's really not profit. To us, it's more like operational capital at a low interest rate. But that money is earmarked for that property down the road when we want to go ahead and sell it. Because we're going to have to go ahead and put that money back into the house so then we can later sell it for a higher price. Does that make sense? So, I mean, don't take that money and think you're good to go and let the house ride because you will need some money for that house later on to renovate and to go ahead and do that. But initially, our target was very conservative. It was $140. And our strategy was simple. We're like, just get it rented. Market rents in that area, about $1,350. We're like, we'll rent it for around $1,250. Right? We're not shooting for the high. We just wanted to get rented. We wanted to cash flow and just ride that wave up. So it was very simple. It was very cosmetic, you know, type of renovation. And that was pretty much what our strategy was. And that's what ended up happening. We ended up renting for $1,250. And because we managed the properties ourselves, we kind of realized a better way of taking care of our properties is to charge our tenants an extra $25 a month to service the AC and to make check for leaks and check for any issues. So this way, we make sure that on a monthly basis, we make it out to our properties. We change the AC filter, so we make sure that it's getting changed out. There's so much problems with AC when people do not change their filters. And when you're depending on your tenant to do that, it becomes a really, really big issue. We had one property where the tenant kept complaining that the AC was not working. It was not working. There's this problem, that problem. And every time we went, we're like, the AC works fine. We don't understand. What we started realizing is that he wasn't changing the AC filter quick enough. He wanted to change it every 3 months. The problem is that he has some big dogs that are very hairy, and all that hair was clogging up the AC a lot quicker. You understand? So we're like, you need to be changing this filter almost every month for this to be working, because it was just clogged up, so it wasn't sucking any air. So therefore, it wasn't blowing out any air. So that's where we kind of came up with, you know, hey, if we can charge them an extra $25 a month, and we go every single month, put a new AC filter, and we can lay eyes on the property. We can see, is everything good? If is everything working? We check the sinks, we check everything, make sure there's no leaks. There's nothing that the tenant is overlooking. You know, we start checking for foundation issues. We start checking for all of those things. And we started doing that. I think that $25 a month is going to get bumped up. We just kind of test it out with the market, see what the market can bear. But we rented this one for $1,250 in about a week or so, and the $25 a month. So between all this, it appraised for $160. We refinanced at 75%, and it puts in a cash flow of over $350 a month. So this play, while it's purely an appreciation play for us, we're still cash flowing. So this is something that I tell a lot of people when they play the appreciation side. Still cash flow. You understand? Like, there's so many people, especially in Austin, that they're getting these properties that are not cash flowing, but they're betting on the appreciation. The problem is that if there is a market correction or anything like that, and appreciation stops, you're still negative. And if you have to drop your rents because you're overpriced or whatever it may be, you're even worse off. So now you have a property that's not going to sell because the market tanked or it's correcting. And you're losing money on a monthly basis. Like, that's gambling, you know, which I did in the Come and Collapse video that I made a few weeks ago. It's fine to gamble, but make sure your investments balance out, where you have some speculative investments along with a lot more conservative, safe investments, right? So in case these ones go bad, the other ones will make up for it. So on this one, we are speculating because we're going for appreciation, but at the same time, we're also cash flowing. So it's a smart investment. Now, what I want to cover is how is it that most landlords end up screwing this up? So you have a lot of people that will buy this same house, but they would buy it for, let's say, $100,000 instead of the $75,000, right? Same quality and everything. Why? Because they look at it and they say the same thing. All right, all I need to do is paint it, put some flooring in, you know, resurface tubs, do this and that, and it'll rent, and I'm good to go. The problem is that you don't have that $25,000 buffer that we now have, right? So let's say it appraises for the same $160 that ours appraised for. It's not worth $160. If for whatever reason you need to sell, it will not sell. Appraisal versus perceived value are two different things, and I made an episode about this a while back, explaining the difference, because a house can appraise for a certain value. It doesn't mean it's going to sell that much if it doesn't have the features that people are looking for. In the same way, just because somebody's willing to pay more, it may not appraise for that much, right? So those are things that you got to balance out. So just because this house, in the conditions that we put it at, the appraisal think it's worth $160, we know for them, because of the market, it won't sell for that $160. It's going to sell for less because we don't have a brand new kitchen. We don't have brand new bathrooms. You understand? There's a lot of features in the house that are still dated that we know it's not going to bring in that extra $15,000 or $20,000 that the appraisal put on it. So while it was great for appraisal's sake and it gave us a nice little buffer, that $25,000 is going to be very, very crucial if anything was to happen and we needed to go ahead and sell the house. You understand? So that is the thing, that when you buy houses, always buy them with the thought, almost buy them as a flip. You know, and usually rentals, a lot of people, they do an 80% of ARV, so 80% of the after repair value or the fixed up updated value, because they say, oh, as a landlord, I can pay more for these houses. Yes, you can, because you're willing to wait to get that payout, but you need that buffer just in case you need to get out, because if not, you will lose money. And I'm not saying this is the case every single time that you're going to be able to do this, because the market gets tight. There aren't a lot of deals, and sometimes you got to make that educated risk. And as long as you understand that is a risk that you're taking, then go ahead and do it. Because if you understand what your downside is, there's better chances you can prepare for it. But when a lot of people are buying these houses and they're paying $20,000 more than what they should because they're going to keep it as a rental, and you're thinking you're good to go, and then the market corrects or something happens that you need to liquidate, and you're going to see, holy crap, I can't sell for that price now because it's not worth it. You understand? And now I got to put it on the market and I'm going to take a hit. So I don't want you to do that. Be smart. Still analyze the deal so it makes sense. Just because we put in 15 grand does not mean we didn't factor in the extra 20 grand that we're going to have to put into that house when we do decide to flip. You understand? So if we were to put in our regular renovation and done everything, we probably would have profited about $15,000 on this deal. But because we're willing to wait, we estimate that our potential profit in a year, maybe 24 months from now, is going to be more like $35,000, $40,000 instead of $15,000, right? But right now, we're still protected. Our investment is still protected. So those are the things that we try to say. When you buy a house, don't analyze it as, you know, oh, I can put 15 grand and it's going to be worth 160. No, it's not. Obviously, unless the ARVs make sense. But on this house, you put 15 grand, you're not making it worth 160. 15 grand maybe makes it worth 140. So you got to see that. What is rent value versus ARV value? It's not all the same thing. Those numbers are not the same. You understand? So you got to understand that. And you got to make sure that when you buy a house, you run those numbers. So on this one, again, we bought it. We knew that $15,000 was going to be enough to get this house rented at the price that we wanted. But we knew it wasn't going to be enough to sell for the $160. You understand? So we made sure that that difference we were going to have. And we're probably going to use it still for operating capital, whatever we need it for. But it's still earmarked for that property, that if we ever needed to, that capital is earmarked and it's set to go for that property. Does that make sense? So, I mean, that's something that you want to make sure you run. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much how we found the deal. Again, the negotiation was simple. The guy just needed to sell. We gave him an offer that he wanted. And because of all this, what's actually funny is... at the beginning, he had two more properties that were actually on either side of the one that we already flipped. So he says, yeah, those two are rented out and I want to get rid of them too. But those are rented out. They're making money. So probably in a year from now. I'm like, all right, sounds good. You know, we'll keep contact and whenever you're ready. And then as the negotiations went forward, as we were getting closer to close this property, he says, yeah, you know, I really want to sell those properties. So maybe 6 to 9 months from now, we'll sell them. I'm like, all right. That works. Whenever you're ready, let us know. And as we're getting towards the end of it, he's like, yeah, maybe, you know, in about 3 months or so, we'll probably sell the other two. I'm like, that works. Whenever you're ready, you know, we can go ahead and do it. And when we close, he's like, all right, I want to sell the other two right now. So all said, we're getting ready to close on those very shortly. And so that makes it four properties that we have. Three in a row, and then one directly across the street that we're doing all the same thing to. Now, those two that we're buying, those we will have to do the full renovation. Because those two, it has severe foundation issues. It has severe plumbing issues. So on those, we will do a full rehab. That way, when we go ahead and rent it out, we know everything is good on that property, right? Everything's going to be good. Even if we wanted to go ahead and flip it in a year or two, all we're going to have to do in that year or two is just touch up paint and put it on the market, and it's going to sell because it's still going to be freshly updated. So I hope this helps. Again, if anything here did not make any sense, or if you have any questions, comment below, shoot me an email, let me know what does not make sense or where do you want me to expand on, and I'll go ahead and do so. So I hope you guys are enjoying it. Stay tuned for the next episode. Make sure you're subscribed to our podcast and everything and our YouTube channel so you don't miss any of this. And as a note, I've been doing a lot of walkthrough videos of our projects. So I am going to create a page on our website where it's more organized. It's just taking me some time to get there. But if you go on our Facebook page or our Instagram, you're going to be able to see all the walkthrough videos. And there's a walkthrough video of this one property as well. So go ahead, check them out, and that way you can see as we walk through, as I point out those same things that we did to this house in the video, it might be a little more helpful. So if you're enjoying this and everything, give us a thumbs up, rate us, review us, all that helps, and I will catch you guys on the next episode.